Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Vanishing Choir, Episode 1 of a two-part series, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, Silent Hymns. The church stood like a sentinel against the night sky, its towering steeple piercing the darkness. The faint glow of moonlight filtered through the stained glass windows, painting the nave in hues of crimson and gold. The sound of footsteps echoed in the empty pews as the choir members filed into the rehearsal room, their voices hushed in reverence for the holy space. Pastor Michael Reynolds watched them with a steely gaze from the pulpit. His presence, tall and commanding, radiated authority. "Tonight, we aim for perfection," he announced, his voice booming through the creaky old building. "The Lord deserves no less." Samantha Lowe adjusted her music sheet, her hands trembling slightly. The soprano had always been nervous under Pastor Reynolds' scrutiny. His expectations were suffocating, but she had learned to hide her discomfort behind a serene smile. She glanced at the others: David, the timid organist, Beth, the mezzo-soprano with a voice as sweet as honey, and James, whose baritone seemed to shake the very walls of the church. They were all here, save for one. "Where's Lily?" Samantha asked quietly, leaning toward Beth. Beth shrugged. "She called earlier, said she wasn't feeling well." Pastor Reynolds clapped his hands, silencing the murmurs. "We'll begin without her. David, the opening hymn, if you please." The organ's first haunting notes filled the air, echoing through the empty church. The choir began to sing, their voices weaving together in perfect harmony. Samantha closed her eyes, letting the music carry her, but a faint rustling sound made her falter. Her voice wavered, and she opened her eyes to scan the room. There was nothing there, just shadows playing tricks in the dim light. She shook her head and refocused on the hymn. The choir's voices swelled, filling the church with an almost celestial resonance. But the rustling returned, louder this time, accompanied by a faint chill that crept up her spine. "Did anyone else hear that?" Samantha whispered during a pause. "Hear what?" James asked, his brow furrowed. Pastor Reynolds' impatient voice cut through their exchange. "Focus, everyone. Again, from the top." The hymn began anew, but Samantha couldn't shake the feeling of being watched. Her eyes darted to the corners of the room, where the shadows seemed to grow darker, thicker. She thought she saw movement, a fleeting silhouette in the back of the church. But when she turned her head, it was gone. As the choir reached the crescendo, the lights flickered. A collective gasp rippled through the group, but Pastor Reynolds' commanding voice held them steady. "Keep going," he barked. The lights steadied, but the tension in the room was palpable. Even the organist, David, seemed unnerved, his hands faltering over the keys. Suddenly, the doors at the back of the church creaked open. Every head turned. The room fell silent, save for the low hum of the organ that seemed to play on its own. A gust of cold air swept through the nave, extinguishing the candles one by one. "Who's there?" Pastor Reynolds called out, his voice betraying the slightest hint of unease. No answer. Only silence. Samantha's heart pounded in her chest as she clutched her music sheet. She strained her ears, listening for any sound, any clue. A faint shuffle echoed from the shadows near the pulpit, and she froze. Her gaze darted to the other choir members, their faces pale and wide-eyed, and then the singing began again. Not from the choir, but from somewhere deeper within the church. The voices were distant, yet eerily familiar, as if a ghostly echo of their hymn was being replayed. It sent chills racing down Samantha's spine. "This isn't funny," James said, his baritone voice trembling. "Everyone, stay together," Pastor Reynolds ordered, though his tone lacked its usual authority. The group huddled near the organ, their breaths visible in the now freezing air. Samantha's eyes darted toward the source of the haunting melody. It seemed to be coming from beneath their feet, the basement. We're leaving, Beth whispered, clutching Samantha's arm. Now. But before they could move, the lights went out completely. Darkness swallowed the church, and panic set in. Someone screamed, and the sound of hurried footsteps echoed through the room. Samantha felt a hand grab hers, and she held on tightly, her breaths coming in shallow gasps. Stay calm, she heard Pastor Reynolds say, though his voice sounded farther away than it should have been. The singing grew louder, closer. It was no longer harmonious, but distorted, fragmented. Samantha's grip tightened on the hand holding hers, but when the lights flickered back on, she was alone. The choir was gone. The silence that followed was deafening. Samantha stood in the center of the room, her breath hitching as she turned in circles, searching for any sign of the others. Her gaze fell to the floor, where sheet music lay scattered like fallen leaves. The organ hummed faintly, though no one sat at its bench. Her heart sank as she noticed something else, footprints. They led from the center of the room to the basement door, which now stood ajar. She stepped closer, her legs trembling, and peered down the dark staircase. The faint sound of the distorted hymn drifted up to meet her. Unable to bear the weight of the silence, Samantha let out a trembling whisper. Hello? There was no reply, only the haunting echo of her own voice. The last thing she heard before running from the church was the faint creak of a floorboard behind her. The next morning, the church was empty. Samantha was gone, along with the rest of the choir. The only evidence of their presence was a single recording left on the organ. The tape played the hymn, distorted and fragmented, accompanied by faint whispers and the sound of footsteps that seemed to circle the room. Detective Lenny Clark would arrive later that day, stepping into a mystery that would unravel the town's darkest secrets. Chapter 2. The Outsider Detective. Lenny Clark's unmarked sedan rumbled into the desolate town of Pine Hollow just past noon. The place lived up to its name. Towering pine trees flanked the single main road, their shadows casting jagged streaks across the cracked asphalt. The town seemed to be in a perpetual state of twilight, as if the sun had forgotten how to fully shine here. Lenny's fingers drummed against the steering wheel as he drove past a few faded storefronts. A diner with a flickering neon sign, a hardware store that looked older than him, and the sheriff's office, its American flag hanging limp in the still air. Charming, Lenny muttered to himself. He wasn't here for the scenery. The Pine Hollow Church had called in a disappearance, and not just any disappearance, an entire choir, gone without a trace. Cases like this didn't happen every day, even for a seasoned investigator like him. He parked in front of the church, its imposing silhouette framed against the darkening sky. The structure looked older than the town itself, with ivy crawling up its weathered stone walls. The steeple stretched skyward like an accusing finger, daring anyone to uncover its secrets. Sheriff Tom Greaves stood on the church steps, his wide-brimmed hat casting a shadow over his face. Lenny stepped out of the car, pulling his coat tight against the biting wind. Greaves greeted him with a nod, his face lined with years of small-town policing. Detective Clark, Greaves said, extending a hand. Thanks for coming. We're a bit out of our depth here. Lenny shook his hand, his grip firm. Understandable. Cases like this don't usually pop up in small towns. What's the latest? The sheriff sighed, leading Lenny into the church. We've got 20 missing people, all choir members. They were rehearsing late last night. When the custodian came to lock up around midnight, the place was empty. No signs of a struggle, no notes, no nothing. Inside, the church was eerily quiet. Dust motes floated in the shafts of light streaming through the stained glass windows. The pews sat in neat rows, empty and solemn. At the front of the nave, the organ stood silent, its keys untouched. The choir director, Pastor Reynolds, said everything was fine during rehearsal, Greaves continued. But when he stepped out to his office for a few minutes, he came back to find the choir gone. He called us right away. Lenny's eyes scanned the room, taking in every detail. The air felt thick, almost oppressive, as if the walls themselves were keeping a secret. Any security cameras? Greaves nodded. Just one, near the entrance. We've got the footage back at the station. You're gonna want to see it. Lenny knelt by the altar, noticing faint scuff marks on the wooden floor. What about personal effects? Bags, phones, coats, anything left behind? A few things, the sheriff admitted. Sheet music, a couple of purses, nothing that screams Clue. But the weird part, he paused, shifting uncomfortably. We found footprints leading to the basement door. They just stop halfway down the stairs. Lenny's gaze snapped to the basement door at the side of the room. It stood slightly ajar, its darkness beckoning like an open mouth. You check it out? Of course, Greaves replied quickly. Nothing down there except a bunch of old furniture and storage. But that door, I've been working here 20 years, and I've never seen it open on its own. Lenny frowned, making a mental note to explore the basement himself. He straightened up and dusted off his hands. All right, let's head to the station and look at that footage. The sheriff's office smelled of stale coffee and faint mildew. A few deputies sat at their desks, pretending not to stare at the big city detective in their midst. Greaves led Lenny to a small room in the back, where a grainy monitor displayed paused footage. This is from last night, around 10:45 p.m., Greaves explained, hitting play. The screen flickered to life, showing a view of the church entrance. The choir members filed in one by one, their faces lit briefly by the overhead light. Samantha Lowe's familiar silhouette appeared, followed by James and Beth. Pastor Reynolds was the last to enter, closing the door behind him. Nothing unusual so far, Lenny remarked, his eyes glued to the screen. Greaves fast-forwarded. The timestamp jumped to 11:15 p.m. The door remained closed, and the scene was still. Then, just as Greaves slowed the footage, something caught Lenny's eye. A shadow. It darted across the screen, quick and indistinct. Rewind that, Lenny said, leaning forward. Greaves did as instructed, playing the clip again. The shadow appeared once more, moving from right to left. It didn't match the movement of the wind or the faint swaying of the trees outside. It was deliberate. Could be a person, Lenny muttered, more to himself than anyone else. Any idea who or what that is? The sheriff shook his head. No one else was supposed to be there. And look at this. He fast-forwarded to 11:45 p.m. The choir members began filing out of the church, but something was off. Their movements were stiff, almost mechanical, as if they weren't fully in control. Lenny's stomach churned. Why didn't you mention this earlier? Greaves looked genuinely unsettled. I don't know what to make of it. It's like they weren't themselves, and then they just vanished. Watch. The footage continued, showing the choir walking out of frame. Moments later, the screen went black, as if the camera had been turned off. Lenny leaned back in his chair, his mind racing. Who else has seen this footage? Just me and my deputies, Greaves replied. Why? Because whoever or whatever did this might already know we're onto them. The sheriff nodded grimly. What do you want to do next? Lenny stood, his expression resolute. We start with the basement. Chapter 3, Whispers of Sin. The basement of the Pine Hollow Church was colder than Detective Lenny Clark expected. As he descended the creaking wooden steps, the air grew damp and thick, carrying the faint scent of mildew and something more acrid, like old varnish. The faint glow of his flashlight barely pierced the darkness, revealing rows of forgotten relics, dusty hymnals, broken pews, and tarnished candlesticks. The place felt like a tomb. Sheriff Greaves followed close behind, his boots scuffing against the uneven floor. We've been down here already, Clark. There's nothing. There's always something, Lenny replied, his voice low. We just have to know where to look. His beam caught a stack of old choir robes hanging limply on a rusted rack. The sight sent a chill down his spine. There was something haunting about their emptiness, as if they'd been shed hastily, abandoned in fear. He pushed the thought aside and focused on the task at hand. Tell me about Pastor Reynolds, Lenny said, sweeping his light across the room. Anything unusual about him? Greaves sighed. Reynolds has been here for almost 20 years. Charismatic guy, a real pillar of the community. But, he hesitated, his voice dropping. There have been whispers. What kind of whispers? Lenny asked, stopping to examine a set of footprints in the dust. They led to the far wall and vanished near a heavy wooden cabinet. People say he's controlling, Greaves admitted. Runs the church like his personal kingdom. Choir members come and go, but they never talk about why they leave. And there's been talk of money going missing from the collection plate, but nothing anyone's been willing to put on record. Financial fraud and an iron grip on his flock, Lenny mused, running his fingers over the cabinet's edge. Not exactly saintly behavior. Help me move this. Greaves joined him, and together they pushed the cabinet aside, revealing a narrow wooden door. The paint was chipped, and the handle was wrapped in a brittle chain, as if someone had tried to secure it long ago but abandoned the effort. "You knew about this?" Lenny asked. The sheriff shook his head. "Never seen it before." Lenny crouched to inspect the chain. It had been cut recently, the edges sharp and clean. "Someone's been here," he muttered. Without hesitation, he pulled the door open, revealing a steep staircase descending further into darkness. A rush of cold air greeted them, carrying a faint metallic tang that made Lenny's stomach churn. "Stay close," he said, stepping into the void. The room at the bottom of the stairs was small and windowless, its walls lined with crumbling bricks. A single bare light bulb hung from the ceiling, its filament buzzing faintly. Lenny flicked the switch and the bulb sputtered to life, casting an anemic glow over the space. The room was bare except for a table in the center, its surface cluttered with papers and photographs. Lenny approached cautiously, his flashlight illuminating the mess. What he saw made his breath catch. The photographs were of the choir. Candid shots of them singing, laughing, and praying. But as he flipped through them, the tone shifted. The later photos showed the choir members looking uneasy, their smiles strained. One picture showed Samantha Lowe, her eyes wide with fear as she glanced over her shoulder. "What the hell is this?" Greaves murmured, his voice barely audible. Lenny didn't answer. He was focused on the papers beneath the photos. Handwritten notes covered the pages, their scrawled lines erratic and feverish. Words like purify and sacrifice jumped out at him, along with repeated references to the shadow. One note in particular made his blood run cold. "The voices must be silenced. They sing for him now." Lenny snapped a photo of the note with his phone before turning to Greaves. "This isn't just a disappearance," he said. "It's a goddamn ritual." The sheriff's face paled. "You think Reynolds is involved?" "I don't know yet, but whoever wrote this knew those people. They were watching them." Lenny's flashlight landed on another object on the table, a small cassette tape. Its label was blank, save for a smudge of ink that might have once been a name. He picked it up, examining it carefully. "Let's see what's on this," he said, slipping it into his pocket. "Anything else down here?" Greaves shook his head, clearly eager to leave. "Nothing but dust and bad memories. Let's get out of here." Lenny nodded, but lingered for a moment longer, his eyes scanning the room one last time. Something about the space felt wrong, like it was holding its breath, waiting for him to leave. He pushed the thought aside and followed Greaves back upstairs. Back at the station, Lenny sat alone in the evidence room, the cassette tape loaded into an old player. He hesitated for a moment before pressing play, the tape's whirring filling the silence. A hymn began to play. At first, it was beautiful, the voices of the choir blending in perfect harmony. But as the song continued, a faint distortion crept in, twisting the melody into something dissonant and unnatural. Then came the whispers, faint but unmistakable. "Help us." Lenny's hand hovered over the pause button, his heart pounding. The whispers grew louder, more desperate. The tape ended abruptly with a sharp click, leaving him in deafening silence. He leaned back in his chair, his mind racing. The choir wasn't just missing. They were crying out for help from somewhere, or something. And whatever had taken them wasn't finished yet. Lenny exhaled slowly, steeling himself for the road ahead. If Pine Hollow's secrets were buried in darkness, he would be the one to drag them into the light. Chapter 4. A Choir Divided. The sun dipped low over Pine Hollow, casting long, jagged shadows across the town. Detective Lenny Clark sat in the sheriff's office reviewing the evidence laid out before him. The photographs, the handwritten notes, and the unsettling cassette tape all painted a picture of a community fractured by secrets. But it was the faces in the photographs that troubled him the most. Smiling choir members, now missing, their joy replaced by the ominous undertones of fear in the later shots. Sheriff Greaves entered the room, a steaming cup of coffee in hand. "You've been at this for hours," he said, placing the cup on the desk. "You need a break." Lenny shook his head. "Can't afford one." "There's a pattern here, Greaves. I just can't see the full picture yet." Greaves pulled up a chair and sighed heavily. The choir wasn't as tight-knit as they looked. Small town groups like that. There's always drama. Rivalries, grudges, the works. But this, he gestured to the evidence. "This feels different." Lenny tapped his pen against the table. What about the missing money? You said there were whispers about Reynolds skimming from the collection plate. Any solid leads? Greaves shrugged. Nothing concrete, but people talked. Choir members started quitting without warning about a year ago, said they didn't feel comfortable anymore. Lenny's eyes narrowed. Who were they? The ones who left? The sheriff flipped open a small notebook and scanned the pages. Two I can remember off the top of my head, Claire Mitchell and Brian Tate. Claire moved to a nearby town. Brian just disappeared. Haven't seen or heard from him since. Lenny jotted the names down. Think Claire would talk? Greaves hesitated. Maybe. She's private, but if this spooks her enough, she might open up. Claire Mitchell's house sat at the edge of town, a modest bungalow with peeling paint and a sagging porch. Lenny parked out front, the crunch of gravel under his tires breaking the silence. He approached the door and knocked, his knuckles rapping against the wood in a steady rhythm. A curtain shifted in the window, and moments later, the door creaked open. Claire stood in the doorway, her face pale and drawn. Her eyes darted past Lenny, scanning the street before settling on him. Detective Clark? She asked, her voice barely above a whisper. Lenny nodded, holding up his badge. I'm looking into the disappearance of the Pine Hollow Choir. I was told you used to be a member. Claire's expression tightened. I don't have anything to say about that. I'm not here to accuse you of anything, Lenny said gently. I just want to understand what happened. People are missing, Claire. If you know something, anything, it could help bring them home. She hesitated, glancing over her shoulder before stepping aside. Fine, come in. The interior of the house was sparse but tidy. Claire led Lenny to a small kitchen table and gestured for him to sit. She poured two cups of tea, her hands trembling slightly as she placed one in front of him. I left the choir because of Reynolds, she said, sitting across from him. He wasn't the man everyone thought he was. Go on, Lenny prompted. Claire took a shaky breath. He was manipulative, controlling. If you didn't do things his way, he'd make your life miserable. He had a way of twisting scripture to justify his behavior. And then there was the money. What about it? He was always asking for more donations, she said. But no one ever saw where it went. The church needed repairs, but nothing ever got fixed. People started to notice, but they were too scared to say anything. Reynolds had a way of silencing people. Lenny's pen hovered over his notebook. Silencing how? Claire's voice dropped to a whisper. Threats. Public humiliation during sermons, and rumors. People said he had dirt on everyone. Things they didn't want getting out. Lenny leaned back, his mind racing. What about the choir? Did you notice anything unusual before you left? Her eyes darted away. There was tension. Beth and James were fighting about something. Samantha seemed nervous all the time. And Reynolds, he was meeting with someone late at night. I don't know who, but I saw them in the church parking lot a few times. They'd talk for hours. Can you describe this person? Lenny asked. Claire shook her head. It was too dark, but they weren't from town. I'm sure of it. Lenny finished his tea and stood. Thank you, Claire. You've been very helpful. She followed him to the door, her expression troubled. Detective, yes? Her voice trembled. Be careful, whatever's happening. But it's bigger than you think. Back at the station, Lenny reviewed his notes. Claire's account painted a picture of a church divided by greed, fear, and betrayal. He couldn't shake the feeling that Reynolds was at the center of it all. But who was the mysterious figure Claire had seen, and what was their connection to the missing choir? His thoughts were interrupted by a knock on the door. Greaves stepped in, his face grim. We found something. You're gonna want to see this. Lenny followed him to the evidence room, where a deputy held up a small box. Inside was a stack of photographs, different from the ones they'd found in the basement. These were newer, more candid. One showed the choir gathered outside the church, their faces alight with laughter. But the next photo wiped the smile from Lenny's face. It was the same scene, but the faces were blurred, as if smeared by an unseen hand. In the background, a shadowy figure stood beneath a tree, watching. These were mailed to the station this morning, Greaves said. No return address. Lenny's jaw tightened. Someone's toying with us, Greaves nodded. The question is, why? Lenny stared at the photos, his mind working overtime. The choir's disappearance wasn't just about power or money. There was something darker at play. something that reached beyond Pine Hollow. "We're running out of time," he said, his voice firm. "Whatever this is, it's not finished." Chapter 5: The Phantom Figure. The night deepened over Pine Hollow, the cold settling in like an unwelcome guest. Detective Lenny Clark sat in the dimly lit evidence room, the mysterious photographs spread across the table before him. His eyes kept returning to the blurred faces and the shadowy figure beneath the tree. Something about the image gnawed at him, a feeling he couldn't quite name but refused to ignore. Sheriff Greaves leaned against the doorframe, sipping from a chipped mug. "So, what's the theory now?" Lenny exhaled sharply. "Whoever sent these photos wants us to know they were watching." The figure in the background, he tapped the image with his finger. "They were there that night. They've seen everything." "And they're playing games," Greaves muttered, his brow furrowed. "Why not come forward if they know so much?" "Control," Lenny said simply. "They want to control the narrative, keep us chasing shadows while they pull the strings." Greaves set his mug down, his face grim. "Well, they're doing a damn good job of it." Lenny's phone buzzed, breaking the tension. He picked it up, seeing a message from the tech team back in the city. They'd analyzed the cassette tape and pulled out a disturbing detail. Beneath the distorted hymn and whispers, there was a faint sound of breathing, uneven and labored, like someone hiding close by. The next morning, Lenny stood in the parking lot of the Pine Hollow Church, the cassette tape playing in his mind like a broken record. He stared up at the steeple, its spire piercing the cloudy sky. A sense of unease settled over him as he pushed open the heavy church doors. The nave was quiet, bathed in the pale light filtering through the stained glass windows. The faint scent of old wood and candle wax hung in the air. Lenny's footsteps echoed as he walked the aisle, his eyes scanning every corner. "You looking for ghosts, detective?" The voice startled him. He turned to see Pastor Michael Reynolds standing by the altar, a Bible in his hands. The pastor's face was calm, almost serene, but there was an edge to his tone that Lenny didn't miss. "Something like that," Lenny replied, keeping his tone neutral. "Thought I'd take another look around." Reynolds nodded, his gaze steady. "You won't find anything new. This place has been searched top to bottom." "You never know," Lenny said, his eyes narrowing. "Sometimes people overlook the obvious." Reynolds' smile didn't reach his eyes. "Do you have faith, detective?" Lenny frowned at the sudden shift. "I believe in evidence. Facts." The pastor stepped closer, his voice lowering. "Faith isn't about what you can see, it's about what you feel. This town, this church, they're being tested. Sometimes the darkness has a purpose." Lenny's jaw tightened. "And what purpose does the disappearance of 20 people serve, Pastor?" Reynolds held his gaze for a moment before turning away. "Only God knows." Lenny left the church, frustration simmering beneath his calm exterior. Reynolds was hiding something. He could feel it. The pastor's cryptic words and unshaken demeanor only deepened his suspicion. But without concrete evidence, all Lenny could do was keep digging. Later that afternoon, Lenny met Sheriff Greaves at the station. The tech team had sent over enhanced stills from the church's security footage. One frame in particular caught Lenny's attention. It showed the choir walking out of the church, their movements stiff and unnatural. But just beyond the threshold, the shadowy figure appeared again, barely visible in the corner of the frame. Its form was indistinct, but its presence was undeniable. "There it is again," Lenny said, pointing at the screen. "That's the same figure from the photographs." "Looks like they were following the choir," Greaves said, leaning closer. "But why? And why not take them right there?" "Maybe they didn't need to," Lenny said, his mind racing. "What if the choir wasn't taken? What if they left willingly?" Greaves stared at him. "You're saying they staged their own disappearance?" "It's possible," Lenny said. "The question is why? What were they running from? Or who?" As night fell, Lenny sat in his motel room, the evidence spread out before him. He studied the photographs, the notes, and the footage, trying to piece together a timeline. The figure, the phantom, was the key. They had been there, watching, waiting. A sudden knock at the door pulled him from his thoughts. He opened it to find a young woman standing in the hallway, her face pale and anxious. "Detective Clark?" she asked, her voice trembling. "That's me," he said. "Who are you?" "My name is Lily," she said. I was supposed to be at rehearsal that night, but I didn't go." Lenny's heart skipped a beat. Come in, he said, stepping aside. Tell me everything. She hesitated before entering, wringing her hands. I've been scared to talk, she said, but I can't keep this to myself anymore. Lenny closed the door and motioned for her to sit. Start from the beginning. What happened before the rehearsal? Lily's eyes filled with tears. Reynolds, he wasn't what he seemed. He'd been meeting with someone, a stranger. I overheard them talking about the choir, about how we had to be cleansed. Lenny's chest tightened. Cleansed how? I don't know, she said, her voice cracking. But the night of the rehearsal, I got a text from Samantha. She told me not to come. She said something bad was going to happen. Do you still have the message? Lenny asked. Lily nodded, pulling out her phone. She handed it to him, and he read the message. Stay home tonight. Don't ask questions. Trust me. Lenny's mind raced. Samantha had known something was coming. She'd tried to protect Lily, but why? And what had happened to the rest of the choir? You did the right thing by coming forward, Lenny said, but you need to stay somewhere safe. Whoever's behind this isn't finished. Lily nodded, her fear evident. Do you think they're still alive? Lenny hesitated, the weight of the question pressing down on him. I don't know, he admitted, but I'm going to find out. Chapter 6. Forbidden Harmony. The air in Pine Hollow felt heavier as Detective Lenny Clark drove to the address Lily had provided. Samantha Lowe's small, tidy home sat at the end of a quiet cul-de-sac, its shutters closed and curtains drawn. Lenny parked his car and approached the front door, his footsteps crunching on the gravel. The faint hum of cicadas was the only sound in the otherwise still neighborhood. He knocked twice, his knuckles rapping against the wood. There was no response. Lenny knocked again, louder this time. Samantha Lowe, he called out. Detective Clark, I need to ask you a few questions. The door creaked open a sliver, and a young woman peered out. Her eyes, bloodshot and wary, locked onto his. What do you want? She asked, her voice hoarse. I need to talk about the choir, Lenny said gently, and about the text you sent to Lily. Samantha's face tightened and she glanced over her shoulder before stepping aside. Come in, she muttered, pulling the door open. Inside, the house was dimly lit and sparsely furnished. A faint smell of burnt coffee lingered in the air. Samantha led Lenny to a small living room where stacks of sheet music covered the coffee table. She motioned for him to sit but remained standing, her arms crossed tightly over her chest. How did you know about the text? She asked, her tone defensive. Lily came to me last night, Lenny replied. She's scared, Samantha. She thinks you knew something was going to happen. Samantha's eyes dropped to the floor. She sank into the armchair across from him and buried her face in her hands. I didn't know what else to do, she whispered. I couldn't stop it. Stop what? Lenny pressed, leaning forward. What happened that night? Tears welled in Samantha's eyes as she looked up at him. It wasn't supposed to be like this. The choir, we'd planned to confront Reynolds. We were going to expose him. But someone else knew, someone who wanted to silence us. Lenny's chest tightened. Who? I don't know, she said, her voice trembling. But I think Reynolds had help. There was always someone lurking around the church late at night. I saw them once, talking in the parking lot. Reynolds seemed afraid of them. Can you describe this person? Lenny asked. Samantha shook her head. They always stayed in the shadows. But their voice, it was low, calm, like they were in control. Lenny scribbled notes, his mind racing. Why did you send Lily that text? Samantha's hands trembled as she reached for a piece of sheet music on the table. I overheard Reynolds talking to them the day before the rehearsal. He said something about a plan, about cleansing the choir. She paused, her voice breaking. I didn't know what he meant, but it terrified me. I didn't want Lily to get caught up in it. Lenny leaned back, his jaw tightening. Cleansing, that's the second time I've heard that word. Do you think he meant violence? Samantha nodded slowly, her eyes filled with guilt. I think so. But it wasn't just him. There's something darker at play here, something bigger than Reynolds. Back at the station, Lenny pieced together the fragments of the case. Samantha's testimony pointed to a conspiracy involving Reynolds and a shadowy figure. The mention of cleansing hinted at a deeper motive, one that went beyond greed or power. But who was this phantom figure pulling the strings? Greaves entered the room, holding a file. Got something for you, he said, dropping it onto Lenny's desk. Background check on Reynolds. Turns out he's got a past he's been hiding. Lenny opened the file, his eyes scanning the contents. Reynolds had been a pastor in two other towns before Pine Hollow, both of which had experienced scandals involving missing money and mysterious disappearances. In both cases, Reynolds had left abruptly, citing personal reasons. "This guy's been running the same game for years," Lenny muttered, "and no one stopped him." "Until now," Greaves said, folding his arms. "What's the next move?" Lenny closed the file and stood. "We bring him in. I want to hear what he has to say about all this." The interrogation room at the station was stark and clinical, its fluorescent lights casting harsh shadows on the walls. Reynolds sat at the metal table, his hands folded neatly in front of him. He wore a calm expression, but there was a flicker of unease in his eyes. Lenny entered the room, his footsteps deliberate. He placed the file on the table and sat across from Reynolds, his gaze unflinching. "Pastor Reynolds," Lenny began, his voice steady. "I've been looking into your history. It seems Pine Hollow isn't the first town where trouble followed you." Reynolds' lips curved into a faint smile. "Trouble follows everyone, Detective. It's how we respond to it that defines us." "Spare me the sermon," Lenny said, his tone sharp. "We know about the missing money. We know about the disappearances in your previous congregations. And now, your choir has vanished. What I don't know is why." Reynolds' smile faded, and he leaned forward slightly. "You think I'm responsible for this? For my own choir's disappearance?" "I think you know more than you're letting on," Lenny said. "Who were you meeting with in the parking lot? The person Samantha saw? What were you planning?" Reynolds' expression darkened. "Samantha always was a busybody, sticking her nose where it didn't belong." Lenny's eyes narrowed. "She's not the one under investigation, you are." The pastor's gaze met Lenny's, cold and unwavering. "You're chasing shadows, Detective. Whatever happened to the choir, I had nothing to do with it. You're wasting your time." Lenny leaned closer, his voice low. "We'll see about that. Because if I find out you're lying, I'll make sure you never see the light of day again." Reynolds didn't flinch. "Good luck, Detective. You'll need it." As Lenny left the room, Greaves was waiting in the hallway. "How'd it go?" he asked. "He's hiding something," Lenny said. "But he's too calm. He knows we don't have enough to pin him down." "So what now?" Lenny glanced at the file in his hand. "We dig deeper. Someone out there knows the truth. We just have to find them before it's too late." Chapter 7. Shadows in the Church. Detective Lenny Clark returned to the Pine Hollow Church just as the sun dipped below the horizon, casting the building in a golden glow that quickly gave way to shadows. He'd spent the day combing through records and revisiting testimonies, but something about the church itself called him back. It felt like the answers were hiding there, buried beneath layers of dust and deceit. The church doors groaned as he pushed them open. Inside, the nave was dimly lit by the last rays of sunlight streaming through the stained glass windows. The vibrant colors danced on the floor, a stark contrast to the oppressive silence that hung in the air. Lenny's footsteps echoed as he walked toward the altar, his eyes scanning every corner for anything he might have missed. He stopped in front of the organ, its keys covered with a thin layer of dust. The last time he'd been here, the cassette tape's haunting hymn had played in his mind. Now, the memory of Samantha's trembling voice and Reynolds' cryptic warnings weighed heavily on him. A faint sound broke the silence, a soft creak, like a floorboard shifting. Lenny froze, his hand instinctively reaching for the holster at his side. "Who's there?" he called out, his voice steady despite the tension tightening his chest. The silence deepened, stretching into a suffocating stillness. Lenny's flashlight cut through the darkness as he moved toward the sound. His beam landed on the basement door, slightly ajar. A cold draft seeped through the gap, carrying with it the faint scent of damp earth. Lenny pushed the door open and descended the narrow staircase, each step creaking under his weight. The air grew colder as he reached the basement, his breath visible in the faint light of his flashlight. The room was as he'd left it, crumbling brick walls, scattered debris, and the table in the center. But something was different. The photographs and notes that had been neatly arranged were now scattered across the floor, as if someone had ransacked the place. In the center of the table lay a single object, a small, leather-bound journal. Lenny picked it up, his gloved fingers brushing over the worn cover. The initials MR were embossed on the front. Reynolds, Lenny muttered, flipping it open. The pages were filled with cramped handwriting, the ink smudged in places as if written in haste. The entries detailed the pastor's growing paranoia about the choir. He wrote of their discontent, their whispers of rebellion, and their plans to expose him. But as the entries continued, they took a darker turn. "They sing for him now," one entry read. "The shadow listens. It watches. It demands harmony, and I must obey." Lenny's stomach churned. The writing grew more frantic with each page, the words slanting and overlapping as if Reynolds had been in a frenzy. "The cleansing is near. They will be purified." The final entry was a single line, scrawled so deeply into the paper that it had torn through in places. "He is here." A sudden crash shattered the silence, making Lenny's heart leap. He spun around, his flashlight slicing through the darkness. The sound had come from the far corner of the basement, where an old storage cabinet stood partially open. "Show yourself," Lenny ordered, his voice firm. He drew his weapon, the metallic click echoing through the room. The cabinet door creaked open slowly, revealing nothing. Just shadows and the faint outline of stacked boxes. Lenny stepped closer, his flashlight steady. As he reached the cabinet, his foot caught on something. He looked down and froze. A trail of footprints, faint but unmistakable, led from the cabinet to the staircase. They were small, as if made by bare feet, and the dust around them seemed to ripple unnaturally, like the surface of disturbed water. Lenny's pulse quickened as he followed the trail back up the stairs. The footprints continued through the nave, leading toward the altar. His flashlight flickered, the beam sputtering like a candle in the wind. He tapped it against his palm, muttering a curse under his breath. "Detective Clark," the voice came from behind him, low and cold. Lenny spun around, his flashlight stabilizing just enough to illuminate the figure standing in the shadows. It was Pastor Reynolds. "What the hell are you doing here?" Lenny demanded, his weapon trained on the man. Reynolds stepped forward, his face partially obscured by the dim light. "You shouldn't have come back here," he said, his tone eerily calm. "This place, it belongs to him now." Lenny's grip on his gun tightened. "Who is him?" Reynolds didn't answer. Instead, he raised his hand, pointing toward the stained glass window above the altar. The light outside had faded completely, but the window seemed to glow faintly, the colors shifting unnaturally. "The shadow," Reynolds whispered, his voice trembling. "It's watching." Before Lenny could respond, the lights in the church flickered and died, plunging the room into complete darkness. The air grew thick, pressing in around him like a suffocating shroud. In the silence, he heard it, a low, melodic hum, growing louder with each passing second. The choir. Their voices rose in perfect harmony, beautiful yet haunting. The sound seemed to come from everywhere and nowhere, filling the space with an otherworldly resonance. Lenny turned in circles, his flashlight useless against the encroaching darkness. "Reynolds!" he shouted, but the pastor was gone. The only sign of his presence was the echo of his final words. "It's too late." The hum swelled into a crescendo, the harmonies twisting into dissonance. Lenny's knees buckled as a wave of dizziness washed over him. He collapsed to the floor, his vision blurring as the shadows closed in. The last thing he saw before losing consciousness was the faint outline of a figure standing over him, its eyes glowing faintly in the dark. Lenny awoke to sunlight streaming through the stained glass windows. The church was silent, the oppressive atmosphere gone. He sat up slowly, his head pounding and his body trembling. The journal lay beside him, its pages open to the final scrawled entry. "The harmony is complete." Lenny clenched his fists, determination hardening his resolve. Whatever force had taken the choir was still out there, and he wasn't going to stop until he brought it into the light.